Welcome back to the Coffee with Craner show. Today I have Mayor Aldo DiCarlo, mayor of Amherstburg, on the show today. He's in his second term as mayor. He's also a physics laboratory coordinator at the University of Windsor. And then also in the community, he holds many other hats on a variety of different boards, vice chair, Essex Windsor Solid Waste Authority. He's also the vice chair for the Windsor Police Services Board and also board chair for Essex Energy Corporation. In today's conversation, we're going to be talking about being a transparent leader and how Aldo and the mayor has really been a transparent leader in all of his roles in the community. So, Mayor DiCarlo, thank you for joining me on today's show.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And every show, I start off with a question relating to coffee. And I have to ask, in Amherstburg, I know you're Italian and you drink lots of coffee. You said before this, stronger the better. Where do you usually go when you're on the rush to a meeting in Amherstburg to grab some coffee?
Well, we finally broke down and got a super automatic coffee machine for home that does espresso, cappuccino, and anything you want, plus regular coffee. But if I'm on the road, I really like my caffeine and company.
Yes. And what do you take in your coffee?
Usually just black now.
There we go. Nice and strong.
Yeah. When I'm at home, I use my favorite mug, Wolfhead.
But there's no liquor in that one, though.
Not currently. Right now, there's just coffee. As the day goes on, maybe later, it'll change.
It is the weekend. I love it. But for those watching, and if there's emerging leaders watching, we're going to be talking a little bit about being a transparent leader and what this means. So Mayor DiCarlo, how would you define being a transparent leader?
I would say a transparent leader educates, provides information, as much information as possible, even if it's not great. You know, sometimes the information you're providing is bad. You have to remain open and accessible to feedback. And in politics, that usually translates into criticism, but that's okay. And I think a transparent leader really needs to be honest and genuine for sure.
Yes, definitely. And like you mentioned, it's so important as a politician. And I'm curious to know why you think being transparent as a politician is so important.
Politicians usually have to make pretty difficult decisions, ideally based on the will of the majority or what's best for the municipality and our future success. It's never going to be agreeable to everyone. But if you follow, the guidelines, I would say, for transparent leadership, then even when people can't agree with you, at least hopefully they'll respect the decisions that you made them in good faith, and you believe they'll be best for the municipality.
Yes, that's so true. Is you're doing it for the people of Amherstburg, right?
You're definitely not doing it for the money when you break it down by the hour.
Yes, exactly, and it goes back to that honesty part, where being a leader, you have to be honest, and so those in the town trust you, and especially when you go into a board meeting, it can be difficult sometimes to get everybody on your side or on the main focus of the meeting. But I think if you're open and you're honest, that'll definitely help. Now, how does being transparent, how has that led you towards success, whether it be in a variety of your roles in the community?
Well, if you believe I have been successful, I'm sure some yes. people don't think so. But no, on that level, I would say there's always the measurables. I like measurables. Mm-hmm. And so on a measurable level, I was elected and reelected.
Yes.
So I guess there's that. But in municipal terms, I would say creating relationships that have brought more development to the town of Amherstburg has been successful. I've been informed by developers early in my first term that you know, they didn't do business with the town simply because they didn't trust the leadership. Mm-hmm. And so a goal of mine was to change that culture and create a culture that brought them back to the town and made them feel comfortable that we would all be successful.
Now, how did you do that exactly? How did you, you're in your second term, how were, or even in your first term, how were you able to really gain the trust of people in the community?
Well, working with the administration, the staff, the employees, council, I would say was pivotal, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you say creating trust in politics, it's not just for one group, right? Like it's not just customers. It's employees in the traditional sense. It's your council members. It's the residents, and you know that the residents are like your shareholders. And if you're not happy with the direction of where you're going, then I guess you lose your job. And I'm not sure how far you want to go into that, but, you know, I could go on for days, I guess.
No, it's, you are right. If they don't believe in you, you do lose your job. And I'd be interested to just talk a little bit about when you're campaigning, how did you gain the trust of people when you're knocking on their doors? How did you gain their trust?
I think it was... by being brutally honest, like when I first ran, the town was in a very bad financial situation. And so one of the more common questions was, you know, are you going to raise my taxes? You know, what's going to happen as far as finances go? And my answer was always yes, to the point that some people would just look at you like, are you crazy? If you're trying to get elected, why would you say, you know, you're going to raise my taxes? And the simple answer was, you know, there's no magic formula in municipal politics. Everybody wants something or needs something, and that costs money. Now, the key is with that money, though, you have to be very accountable. And so making sure that they know what you did with their money was key. And where in the past, maybe it was, we weren't as transparent with where people's money was being used. You know, we still are accused now and then of not being transparent enough, but, you know, all of our agendas have our financial reports in them. As I like to say, and you can look right down to what we paid for staples at Staples, you know what I mean? all the way up to, you know, our municipal projects, like quarterly reports. We couldn't legally be any more transparent than how we are. And so I think that helped right from, you know, how I campaigned to how I followed through with that in that respect. And, you know, really the only thing that you can't share is the legal stuff that is protected by the, you know, privacy laws. And of course, you know, people want that information. The easy thing would be to provide that information, but then as I tell them, that will put the town in a litigious situation, and that means that it will cost them more money. So, I don't think that would be the responsible thing to do.
No, and that's so surprising how when you were knocking on doors, you told people what they didn't want to hear. And I think that's important, is making promises that you can keep. And I really like that you're able to just be honest. Yes, taxes may be raised. That's so important, and being transparent will definitely help you get elected and lead to that success. Now, I'm curious to know, how did you create trust with the employees that you work with at the town of Amherstburg?
With the employees, staying open and accessible is very important. Making sure that they have the information and tools that they need in order to do their job. and making sure that they feel appreciated in our success, right? Council creates policies and provides direction, but employees do all the actual work. So it is important every now and then to make sure that they feel valued and that we really truly couldn't get done what we get done without their work. And, you know, that's become even more obvious during this pandemic where, you know, a lot of people couldn't go to work. And in our case, you know, a lot of our employees still had to go to work and still had to do their job. And so you really have to make sure that they're valued in that role.
So what are some, you talked a bit about appreciating your employees. What were some ways that you showed them appreciation and that you still show them appreciation throughout your role as mayor and CEO?
I mean, the simple thing is to talk to them. You know, again, anybody who's been in the mayor's office area, they'll notice that my door is usually open unless I'm in a meeting.
Yes.
And, you know, they pop in. And when they do, I usually give them the opportunity to provide feedback. If we're talking about specific issues, I will flat out ask them, you know, how they feel about something. And I think that's key. And it's not just rhetoric, right? Like after you ask them a question, you actually have to listen. And you know, you get a lot of good ideas back from them. And when they're implemented, I think it just, you know, completes that circle of information, you know, feedback and execution of everything that needs to get done.
Wow, I love it. The little things do count. Giving them time to talk to you is so important. And just because they're working in the office doesn't mean they don't care about some type of thing that's happening in the community, and it's good to have their feedback. Now, you consider yourself transparent and having a clear identity as a leader. I'm curious to know, what other leadership traits do you believe that you possess?
Let's see. That's another good question. I think you got to be humble. The reality is in the work that needs to get done, I'm not the expert, they are.
Yes.
And so you have to remain humble in that, you know, they're doing the work and they let you take the credit for it. You know, that's tough to do. Let's see, what else? I don't really put that much thought into
yourself. Like,
what traits I would have, actually. Communication, I guess, is one I get good feedback on. I would say that I'm a pretty good communicator, not just, you know, with our employees, but with the residents. Most people know I'm big in social media.
Yes.
You know, love it or hate it, a lot of people are on social media. And then, of course, before the pandemic, communication-wise, I attended every event physically possible. And I think that maintains, you know, that accessibility as far as leadership traits go. And, of course, again, it goes back to the whole communication. It provides you that very key trait I think all leaders should have, in that they remain accessible so that people can communicate with you and, you know, provide you that feedback. And then, you know, again, that gives you that opportunity when you're making decisions to be able to honestly say that you have received that feedback from the majority of residents. And that's why, you know, you're making the decisions or taking the direction that you are.
So who do you think you've learned the good communication, being a transparent and having a clear identity, clear values, leadership style from? Was there somebody throughout your life that really taught you that?
I would say it's been a variety of people. You know, I've been in a lot of leadership roles going back a few years, including when I was in labor and on the Board of Governors. And it really depends on the role that I'm in at the time. And so it's been everything from, you know, my predecessors. And the more honest ones, I think, will provide you feedback, not just in where they were successful, but where in they think they failed, or, you know, it wasn't as successful as they hoped it would be, because there's obviously a lot to learn from that. And, you know, now that I've moved on from some of those leadership roles, people who have followed, you know, me in those roles have now come back to me and say, you know, ask me the same questions. And so I tried to provide feedback in the same manner. You know, when I dealt with that or had to deal with that, you know, here's the path I took, and here's what worked, and here's what didn't work. And some people's immediate reaction is, you know, okay, so I won't do it that way. But what I try to explain to them is, if something didn't work, it might have just been circumstances, timing, you know, it could have been anything. It doesn't mean it's not going to work today. You know, I'm very clear on why it didn't work at the time. And again, I guess it keeps going back to information and education. And, you know, you provide somebody with all of that, and it gives them the tools to be good leaders themselves, and kind of make their own decisions and find their own path as to what's going to work for them.
Yes. And like you said, is taking constructive feedback. It's good to hear all the great things that you're doing, but I think for myself, and you believe the same thing, is taking that constructive feedback to heart and improving from there. Now, I'm interested to know, what would you say are some challenges that you face in your role, and how do you overcome some of those challenges you're faced as mayor?
Challenges, well, there's lots of challenges, so like that, I guess.
I would say, being a CEO of the town, what would be some challenges that you face, whether it be with the community or while at work? What are some, whether it be challenges, some things you really have to work hard on? What are you faced with that maybe somebody going into this role as a politician should know?
I think the challenges probably depend on the topic, for example. So, you know, if you look at something simple like infrastructure in the town, because of our financial situation, you now have to fix everything that was overlooked in the past, everything that would, you know, happen today regardless, and then again plan for everything that's going to happen in the future. And trying to do that on a financial level is very difficult because it requires funding for past, current, and future issues all at the same time. When you get down to, you know, policies and direction, it's not, it's never about what you want. It's what the people you represent want. So in that challenge, it's getting out there and finding out what the majority of people are looking for and where they live and or want to visit. And then, of course, the decision's not yours to make, it's council's to make. And so you really have to work with council as well to see what they have gotten for feedback in the municipality. And then collectively trying to come up with a path that, you know, you all believe is in the best interest of the municipality. So there's a lot of challenges as you go, you know, issue to issue. A big challenge for us right now is obviously all of the regulations with the pandemic. You know, that's a good example. And because all the challenges you would have had on a day-to-day basis, are now amplified because you can't deal with them the way you used to. And so challenges in municipal politics can be very dynamic, and they rarely stay the same. There's always extenuating circumstances, even on a good day.
Yes, and that just comes with the job. A pandemic, like things like that, it takes a huge toll on the organization. But it, again, being able to adapt to challenges and changes is something important that leaders should be considering if they do want to jump into a career as a politician. And I'm interested to know, what leadership qualities do you think someone young or emerging leader should have that would lead them towards success? What are some top things that you think?
If you look at what we just talked about, I mean, resilience is big. You have to be ready to deal with anything and make some really tough decisions. Mm-hmm. Look at the other leaders around you in your field. Yeah. Because a lot of the traits, we've discussed revolve heavily around elected positions. And yes. So, the youth are going to be in everything from that to, private business. And so leadership qualities are going to vary widely based on the role that you have. So when it comes to that, my recommendation is always find a leader that you believe in and talk to them and see, what advice they have. So on a youth role, for example, I would say someone should talk to you. I think you're a great youth leader, in everything you do. You're really out there. You've got a lot going on at any given time. So you're a good example of a youth leader. In the business world, you've got people like Richard Petty. I'll give him a shameless plug on his book, 21 Leadership Lessons. I found that very helpful in leadership traits and what a leader should have. But I also honestly found some things that would be difficult to translate into a political leadership. But there's other books like a big person in municipal leadership is someone called George B. Cuff. And he writes books like Guide for Municipal Leaders. So, thankfully, there is a lot out there for the youth today to go research. Yes. On what makes a good leader. And so where I'm always reluctant to give leadership advice because I'm probably my biggest critic. I approach it more on a, here's the kind of leadership traits that feedback from other people have told me I'm good at. Because to me, again, I try to remain as humble as I can. And so
yes.
When I think about what I'm good at, I go straight to, well, what have people told me I'm good at, not what I think I'm good at. And so I think I've covered some of that. But, I think the biggest advice I could give the youth today is, when you pick a field you're interested in, find the leaders in that area and, see what they've done.
Yes. Yes. That's a great point it varies on the field, that you're interested in. And yes, for those watching, read a book, find some type of mentor or somebody in that field that is an expert or close to being an expert that you can really take their advice from. And I think that's an excellent point and a great way to sum up today's live stream. So Mayor DiCarlo, thank you for taking time out of your Saturday. It's gorgeous outside, and I hope those watching are able to enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you next time on the Coffee with Craner show.
Well, it's a pleasure. And for anyone considering politics, just know that weekends mean absolutely nothing in the working world. I will be working all weekend, just like I always am, regardless of the pandemic. Meetings continue, decisions still have to be made. So I appreciate it, but I'll be getting back to work.
Yes, and that's something that comes with the job, right?
It really does. Seven days a week. It does. I knew what I was signing up for, but that's okay. I enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Mayor DiCarlo, for joining the show today, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Well, keep up the great work, and you enjoy your weekend too.
Thank you.